I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now I'm talking with Derek from a band called Dream Unending. Right now their album is actually streaming. It's streaming in its entirety. It's coming out this Friday as we speak, but by the time you hear this, it'll likely be out Friday, November 11th, Song of Salvation. And man, how you doing, dude?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. It's we're having a nice fall day here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And yeah, the record's streaming. That's kind of crazy. You like wait a long time for something to come out.
Yeah.
You're like, just get it out of my head, right? Like, once it's out, then I'm like, oh, it's officially over. But it's kind of nice, like, because then I'm just on to the next thing. But it's still kind of crazy that you can listen to it now. I've had a few people already be like, this record is amazing. I was like, oh, that's
great.
Listen to it. And they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, the first album was incredible. I have not had a chance to stream the new one yet. I'm going to ordered it on compact disc, believe it or not. So,
oh, hell yeah.
But your first album came out last year.
Yeah.
And your new album came out this year. How long did you wait until just jumping right into writing a new record? Or did you have them done similar times?
No, we recorded Tide Turns Eternal in like kind of January, February, or February, March of 2021, I guess, right?
Okay.
Yes. And when I finished recording all the guitars and the bass and stuff, I got home and then probably about a week later, I started writing the new record. So I just didn't wait. But I didn't show Justin anything until he was actually done his vocals. So I think I was showing him demos before the first record was even mixed, which is kind of funny. We were so much fun making the album because I love recording. Like I love going to a studio and I love, you know, setting up all the amps. I love playing off the floor, especially like when Two Mold records and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't tighten up. I don't get stiff. Like I really have fun with it. So I just love doing it. So. Yeah. Recording Tide was a little bit more daunting because it was like, well, I'm going up alone and I'm going to do like a whole band's worth of guitars and bass. And I hope I can pull it off. Like, I hope I don't have fatigue, or I hope I don't get stuck on a part, and then I spiral. And I've never spiraled like that, but and I didn't. And it was really fun. I'm lucky because the engineer I work with, Sean Pearson, he has a studio outside of Toronto in a city called Hamilton.
Yeah.
Called Boxcar Sound. And I'm lucky because he's such a joy to work with that it makes it easy and fun. Like, you're not dreading it. Like, you're looking forward to going in. And he's such a, he's so instrumental in helping me dial in all the different sounds and whatnot. So it was just fun. So then it was so fun that I was like, well, I want to do it again. Like, yeah, immediately. Like, I was Let's so go. Sad. I was so sad that I had nothing left to record. It yeah. sucked. I was like, no, like, I don't want to leave. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to write another record so I can come back.
Yeah.
And then, and Justin wasn't opposed to it, 'cause he was just like, this was sick. Like, we got to do another one. I was like, okay, well, here's the title track of, like, mm-hmm. the opening 14-minute song. I think I had the whole thing lined out, or like sketched out, before we had the final mix of the first record. So it's kind of funny. Like, I clearly, you know, some people like to put out a record and maybe they wait for feedback on it and stuff mm-hmm. to help sculpt where they go from there. Whereas I'm like, no, I got it. I got it. Like, I know exactly what I want to do. And it nice. Was just, so I did.
Well, looking at, you know, Justin's metal archives, it is very apparent that he has no problem with putting more out. No. This guy has, you know, so many different bands. In one day, just about a month or so ago, he put out two records, Innumerable yeah. Forms and Summerlands, two incredible records. Yeah. This guy so comes good. From, you know, like, hardcore background, and he's just like steeped in metal. You know, so many good records. I remember, you know, seeing Mental on tour back in like 2000.
Oh man. That Get an Oxygen Tank 7-inch is probably the greatest hardcore 7-inch of the 2000s. Like, it's just like, oh, you like Outburst? Well, here's something even better. It was so good. Oh my God. Yeah.
Being someone that, you know, probably grew up seeing this guy, play in front yeah. of you with, like, you know, whatever bands, what's it like being in a band with this guy? Is it pretty mind-blowing?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like,
and how did it come about?
Yeah, so like we've talked about it before, where it's just like, you know, we've been in like the same, we've been in rooms together since like 2005, but we didn't get to really know each other till 2018, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I remember when the first Innumerable Forms record came out, Punishment and Flesh, and I was like, wow, they actually did it. They made an LP. Like, I remember seeing that band 10 years prior, maybe not 10, but like 8 years prior. And they were awesome. Like, I remember when that first demo came out, and I thought it was cool because at that time, like, there wasn't a lot of people doing like Findeath style music. So it kind of stood out. And I remember like the MySpace page for their band, like their influences were like Abhorrence and Convulse. And I was like, oh, I love those bands. I was like, yeah. Oh, this guy likes those bands. I remember seeing Justin, like, and I, like, we both watched like Demigod play at MDF in 2012, not nice. Together, but yeah. we were both there. Right. Yeah. Like, and then we, so when that record came out, I got his contact info from the label, and I just emailed him. I was like, hey, like, a big fan of your stuff, and congrats on finally making a Forms LP. Like, that's great. And then he was like, oh, hey, dude, like, I love Tomb Mold. And I was like, oh, cool. And then we just kind of kept talking. And then he says what I said, and I most likely said this. I think I probably said, if you ever need anything, just let me know. And then he was like, oh, yeah, okay, do you want to start a band? So I was like, all right.
Yeah.
So, and then we talked about, well, it's kind of like, what kind of music do you want to make? And he was like, well, I want to do a doom band. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he's like a Peaceville style doom band, mm-hmm. like My Dying Bride, Anathema, Paradise Lost, like that stuff. And I was like, well, not I like that
sleep.
Stuff.
Not sleep.
Not sleep. No, yeah. not. I was like, I put doom into two categories. Mm-hmm. There's bell bottom doom, which mm-hmm. would be sleep. And then there's like cargo pant doom, which would mm-hmm. be like esoteric or like winter or something yeah. like that. Right. Like, so when he told me that, I was like, well, that's cool. I found it intimidating. I didn't know if I could really write that kind of music, mm-hmm. like these big epic, like 8 to 12 minute songs with like, you know, a healthy amount of instrumentation. And then, you know, we probably didn't we probably kept talking about it for maybe about half a year until I started writing it. I needed to get a bunch of Tumult touring done before I could actually sit with it. And then I started cranking out the songs that would end up being Tide Turns Eternal. He rejected one song, not in like a, it's not a bad song, just like these riffs just sound like slower Tumult. So like, let's dial that out. And then I was like, okay. And then it was a feeling out process of like, you know, okay, I have like, you know, the song idea and I like each part in it, but there's parts of it where I'm like, this might be a bridge too far for him. So I would send him a demo and kind of see what he thought. And he never was like, this is too far. So I was like, okay, so you like this stuff? And like, he's like, yeah. So I was like, okay, well then I'm going to try to like expand on that. And like started adding more clean guitars and more like stuff like that. And he was game for everything. So it just made it really easy to write. And I got comfortable with it. So then writing the second record, it came so fast, I feel like, or at least like the bulk of it came so fast because I was so inspired by recording the first one and knowing from him that I kind of had like a vote of confidence. I'm like, just go for it. Go for it. I was like, okay, great. And then it was, that made it easy, I guess.
You know, fast forward three albums down the line, you've gone full Catatonia and you're making like dance songs and stuff.
Oh, dude, that's the dream, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, just rewind a few years back and you put out, was it two or three Tumult records back to back to back?
We did three in 3 years.
Is that are you gonna do a double three-peat like Michael Jordan?
I wish I could do a second three-peat. I think we'll make something, but I don't know what. Like I don't think I want to do another full LP.
Sure.
Because the thing with doing a third one is that I fear you become predictable. There's definitely a blueprint to the songs now. Like, you know, we could be like, oh, third LP out next year, and people could just be like, oh great, another record where it's like heavy part, clean part, heavy part, clean part. Oh, are there clean guitars over heavy parts? Oh, no kidding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can become so predictable. So I'd rather do something a little smaller where maybe it's still predictable, but you're not paying the full price of admission or something like that. You know what I mean?
You could just go full Blood Incantation and just totally throw a left thing.
Oh, like make an ambient record?
Ambient record, exactly.
I mean, we could, but like we won't, but like we could, but we won't.
and it's funny that we're like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? When this new one still is like dropping in 2 days. So, but my question, you said that you love the studio, you know, recording so much. If I'm not mistaken, Dream Unending has never played a show, right?
No, like we've never even played music together in the same room. Like,
wow.
We've never been there. We've never been with each other for the process. Like it's been completely remote.
So it's kind of like the epitome of like a pandemic project.
Kind of, but like we don't consider it a pandemic project because we had just started working on it pre-pandemic.
Sure.
But yeah, like I don't know what it would be like to write a song with him in the room. It'd be interesting. But I guess why I never worried about it too much is that like when he goes to record the drums for the record, like I don't know what he's going to play. So it's kind of a surprise to me, which is fun. Yeah. And again, it just comes from that kind of vote of confidence where I know what he's not gonna do.
Yeah.
And I kind of know what he's gonna do. And then there's just a surprise, like the little stuff in between where I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, that's good. Like, you know, we have a sort of outline of like, we don't want like no fast parts, no blast beats, no nothing. Like, it's never supposed to be jarring or assaulting. And it's like, we take all those things into account, right? Like, we're trying to create something kind of immersive. And I just never want to pull the person out too hard.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I know he's not going to do that with his drumming. So I just never worry about it. And then I wonder, like, if I was there in the room with him, would I be critiquing it? Would I be like, oh, you should try this instead? And like, I don't know that I need to, but I feel like there'd be the part of me that'd be like, why don't you try this? Right. Cause
yeah.
But that's the fun part is that when I don't hear it with drums for so long, I think about what the drums might be. And what I get back is something better that's in here because nice. I'm not a drummer, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's nice. It's actually really nice. Yeah. I don't dictate what Max Entombeau plays, though. Like, I'm too stupid to do that. Yeah. He's like a genius at his at drums, so sure. I don't have to tell him anything. I would never dare.
So Dream On, you've never played in person together. No. Do you ever see Dream Unending playing live, or do you?
Oh,
think
yeah, it, for sure,
for sure,
okay. For sure. One day, and I just gotta get Justin to buy in on like you'll do vocals, but then like we'll have a guitar up there, and you'll kind of be like free safety on guitar, like just like help us build parts.
Sure.
Like, that's the thing is like. I don't want to do like a bare bones version, but I don't want to try to make like an 8-person band,
and with an orchestra and like you know go full Demi Borgir.
Well, like they have venues that can support.
That's true.
Bands.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I'm not gonna try to fit 8 people at like O'Brien's Pub in Boston or like or even St. Vitus in New York. Like that'd be a fucking nightmare. Part of my language.
A VFW hall or something. You know?
Yeah, oh my gosh. So it would have to be like this sort of stripped down thing, but with enough elements and gear on stage to rebuild it without resorting to just sampling everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I'd love to just kind of stretch out the songs live and like kind of try to rebuild the parts and kind of bring them to peaks and whatnot. Like I think that'd be really something, but that's going to take a lot of planning and I have other things I need to do first before I can do that. Yeah.
So, you know, being that you're someone who was, you know, into punk and hardcore music and death metal, Dream Unending is very pretty, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
What was your like gateway into the less extreme metal and more beautiful, peaceful, or you know, pretty side of you know heavy music?
I think it's two streams that sort of in my mind are not connected, but they make sense, which is when I was in high school, you know, we were into, before we were into like hardcore, we were into skate punk and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right. But then you hear about all these labels cause you're doing mail order, you're buying off interpunk.com. Right. So maybe, you know,
CDs. And stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like, you know, Epitaph and, you know, Fat and all that stuff. But then maybe you learn about like a label like J-Tree. Mm-hmm. Something where they're putting out maybe Pedro the Lion Records or like the Captain Jazz collection, and then you see that and you learn there's a band called American Football, a band called Owls, and then you find this whole just plethora of like clean guitars that are shining, right? They're sparkling, and I think that stuff was really nice. And then through that you learn about, or maybe through a friend at school, you also learn that there's bands like The Cure who made a record like Disintegration, and you hear that and you're like, oh my god, this is like sad, but like a different kind of sad than this thing I was listening to. Bands like that, bands like Red House Painters, like the slow stuff that was coming out in the 90s, them, Low. I mean, Low is interesting because, I mean, Mimi from that band, it just passed away. Mm-hmm. And there's a song on the new record called Ecstatic Rain, and the opening like riff, like it's like a clean riff that becomes heavy. Mm-hmm. And that is, like that's like a nod to the song Lazy by Low.
Okay.
Cause I love that song. I love that album. And I was like, I kind of came up with something that kind of reminded me of it. And I was like, well, how do I take it from sounding like Low to Alice in Chains? And nice. So it's like, oh, it works both ways. And it was great. I was so stoked. But bands like that. And then And then I guess, I mean, I've always loved stuff like Dire Straits as well, which is just all these like clean shiny guitars, a lot of you know 70s records, that some of the more progressive stuff, and so just like all of that I feel like kind of and guitar players like acoustic guitar players like Michael Hedges or Leo Kottke, Robbie Basho, I always love that stuff. It was just so pretty, it sounded beautiful, and I was just like, how do I do that? And I never really learned, but like I would pick up things as you go, and then I sort of just sort of distill it all into my playing. And but I think people think that like we're way more gothy than we are. Like people always like want to talk about like the goth bands that I like. Like I love like Cocteau Twins and like Clan of Xymox, The Mission, what stuff like that, Fields of the Nephilim. But I'm never really thinking about it that much when I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I think I just try to let it go. I like, to me, like, some of the clean parts remind me more of Led Zeppelin than like a post-punk band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I play a 12-string guitar on the records, but yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, I at some point though, you realize that you're listening to all these things from different genres, and then you just realize you just like music, and like music's great. And then you're like, well, how do I consume all of it? You know, you try to like, so I feel like Dream Unending more than any other thing I do is like a distillation of all the music I like.
Yeah.
So I saw someone writing about the record, and they were saying, you know, Derek has name checked bands like the Blue Nile or Steve Winwood or this, and you can hear a bit of Blue Nile in the record, but you can't really hear Steve Winwood in the record. But there's this album by Steve Winwood called Ark of a Diver, and has this sort of guy, like this like black figure diving. And then like whenever I see that figure, I think of the figures on the two record covers, right? Mm. So it's like, to me, it's like all connected. Like it's all in, like everything makes sense to me. But to the untrained eye, like how are you supposed to know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, are you, with the amount of music that's just available to us at any given time, which is crazy, because you were, you know, talking about something I'm very familiar with is, you know, buying all these CDs online. And, you know, it was at that time where, you know, even if you didn't like the CD, you would listen to it because it was the only thing you had the money for that time. But with the amount of music out there now, are you someone who tends to go backwards as opposed to, you know, trying to stay up to date with like all the new stuff? It sounds like you have like
totally
kind of really getting into older stuff.
I try to keep up with contemporary, but it moves so fast.
Yeah.
And that's, I find my most contemporary listening, I find usually gets done at work in a good way, not like a throwaway way, but when I'm home, I like to put on a record, and I like to buy new records when I can, but I also, if I get stuck on an old record, I will find it and I will just listen to it. So one record that I listen to a lot at home, it's like a record where, to me, like, you know, when I'm writing for Dream Unending, I'm never thinking about, I want to write a riff that sounds like this song. But I want more, so it's like I want to capture the energy that this song has, or like the way this thing makes me feel. And I have this record by, have you ever heard the band Little Feet?
Yeah. I mean, I only listened to a little bit of them, but
yeah,
I worked at a CD store and my boss liked them a lot.
So. They have this record. I have it right here. So it was just called Waiting for Columbus. That's the album.
Oh, cover. I remember that cover. Yeah,
it's a double LP live record.
Mm-hmm.
And so every Saturday I work at a cafe, mm-hmm. and we're always crazy busy, and it's always just me and one other person. And I always am just like, I'm just going to put on an album that is going to be super long so that we don't have to change anything.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of that is like live Phish albums, but she's a good sport about it. And she actually is like, this is actually not bad, but I'll put on this record because it's got, you know, it's a little bit more rock music, a little country tinged. And I know we can both enjoy it, but there's just songs on it where it's like the energy of it is just so good. And so it's like, I listen to it at work, but then I come home and I want to throw it on when I'm cooking or when I'm cleaning or when I'm just sitting and I just want to listen to it. But it's like, I just love listening to records at home. I have a nice stereo that I've like pieced together. That's another thing. Like, I feel like people don't have stereos anymore. Like that really freaks me out. Like you just have Bluetooth speakers or like headphones, and like can be great, but like crappy earbuds, not so great.
You don't want people to listen to Dream Unending off of a laptop speaker.
No, or like your phone speaker in a cup, like on your table, like that.
Just, a phone makes, speaker in the back of a bus, like, annoying everyone.
That makes me so sad. But anyways, so that record, like, yeah. So I find that, but then, you know, like, you know, we have, I see here, like the other record I have out on display is Upon Desolation, the new Mortuous record, mm-hmm. which is just like a fantastic album. It's so like that record's so heavy. It's so heavy. And like the My Dying Bride style slow riffs on it are so good, which is cool. Cause then like, I hear that and like, you know, we don't sound like Mortuous. Our doom riffs don't sound like Mortuous, but I hear it. I'm just like, oh my God, I wish I could write that.
Right.
So I'm just in awe of it. So I get the same feeling from like contemporary extreme metal mm-hmm. that I can get from a live 70s rock record.
That's cool.
And that's the thing, right? Like, you know, it's almost like it transcends sound because it's going for something even deeper, which is like emotion or something like to pull out of you, right? Like,
yeah,
having like a reaction to it. It's like songs that make you shiver or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, can't beat the feeling.
Can't beat the feeling, man. It's when it hits, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
So, you know, you got this band to like with no rules, you know, Dream Unending. It seems like it's just you can go as far as you want, as far as just like pretty sounds or just like doom sounds. And then you have ugly music with Tomb Mold. You can just get brutal. Do you approach those differently? Like, is there like a is Tomb Mold like a different songwriting kind of formula for the band?
A little. So Tomb Mold, I write all the songs, but then I kind of rely on my bandmates Max and Payson to finish them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's like Payson, the other guitar player in the band, he's really good about working on a song and he'll be like, what about like he can see the little microscopic stuff he's really good at, because I'm too big picture with everything.
Yeah.
Especially with Tomb Mold for some reason, which just with the songs, not like the album. But so then I'm like, well, I spent so much time like crafting the songs that it's like almost like I don't want to spend more time on them.
Yeah.
And then he can be like, well, what if we did just this little thing? And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, that's a great thing. Right. And then Max obviously just builds his drums. Whereas Dream Unending, I get way more in the weeds with,
mm-hmm.
because I guess I know I have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, but it, I don't dread it. I think I would dread it with Tombold, because I'd rather just show up to band practice and play with them and kind of see what comes out of it organically. That's the joy of playing with those two guys, is that we're all so connected, and I just, when we feel stuff out, and then I like that. I like the organic process with it, and I like counting on them, because they always come through in such big ways. I'm so blessed to be in a band with them.
Yeah.
Dream Unending, it's like, well, it's all on me. It's like all on my shoulders. But I signed up for it. It's like, you know. So then it's fun though. Like I'll just take my time with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to have it done before band practice or something. Like I can start a song, and then I can come back to it, you know, 2 months later and be like, oh, I'm ready to finish it. I got it. And that's nice. And then being able to workshop all sorts of different ideas and see which ones I like the most, and trying to figure out, it's like, well, what don't I have here that I need, but I can't do. And that's when asking people to guest on the record comes in. You know, we never do that in Tombold. I don't think we ever would, because it's such a, it's this thing that, well, especially because we're such a live band too, that like, it's like, well, we don't want to like do stuff that we can't pull off live. Right. But with Dream Unending, we can get way more like in the like prog territory with it, you know? So on this record, you know, my dad comes back to play piano and keyboards.
That's so cool.
It is cool. My friend Layla, who plays in Vastum, and she has
Abdul Rayouf.
And she has oh my God, like an incredible solo output. Like, she's so good. Oh,
she got to play at Northwest Terrorfest last year.
Did you see it?
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. She plays trumpet on a song, and like, that was awesome. I was like so scared to ask, but she was great about it. And then, you know, Phil Swanson, like the former singer of Summerlands, who has a awesome band now called Solemn Lament. Mm-hmm. He sings on the record, and that was a real trip. And I got a bunch of friends to just do these like whispers on a song, and it was like, no one will know it's you. So it's like, don't worry. And it was like a really fun thing just to add another dimension to this like little intermission track on the record. So I guess I do, I approach them really differently, really. But I guess I think more about all the little details with Dream and Ending, whereas Tombold, I'm just sort of like, no, everybody will kind of figure it out. Like, everyone will work it out for me.
Yeah.
Like, I give them, it's like, you know, it's like making dinner, and it's like, okay, like, here's the steak. Like, where are the vegetables? And it's like, you're like, here you go. And I'm like, oh, sick.
Nice.
It's like, I'm terrible at cooking vegetables. I need someone else to like do it for me. Yeah. Or like, you know, collaborative effort, you know,
the main, you could do the main course and people do the stuff around it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's nice. So then the fact that I'm able to do it with Dream Unending, at least I know like I can do it.
Yeah.
Which is helpful. Yeah.
About a year or so ago, I got to interview the band Cult of Luna, and their all-time favorite artist that they got to collaborate with was the late Mark Lanegan from Screaming Trees.
Oh my God.
And
that's so sick, man. Like, he's so good.
Yeah. They collaborated with him for an EP.
Yeah.
And it was just like this dream come true thing. For you personally, you've done these collaborations, you're open to it, you have this project Dream Unending where you're open to having your friends or musicians you look up to, what would be your like bucket list collaboration? Steven Wilson or something? What would it be?
No, it would be Paul Buchanan, the singer of the Blue Nile.
Okay.
I've tried to email his representation before. I got nowhere.
Sure.
But I would still try. I would love to hear him sing on one of my songs. I would probably, after that, I might just have to quit. I just bet there's no, the other one, this is way more like lifelong sentimental, and a lot of people who hear this, if they know who this person is or the band that he was in, are just gonna be like, are you joking me? But Stephen Page, the former singer of Bare Naked Ladies, Canadian, iconic Canadian band. Me and my bandmate Payson from Tombold, a few years ago, we went and saw him do a solo gig, because we both have a, not even a soft spot, we just love that band. We love his singing. So it's like, oh, well, we can just go see him do songs, and he'll do solo songs, BNL songs, whatever.
Sure.
And he's such a good singer, and he's got such an expressive voice. And we always talk about, oh, man, you know, it'd be sick, like a Smiths reunion, but instead of Morrissey, they just got Stephen Page to sing all the songs. And like, that's like, and like, you know, like that band, or like John Darnielle, who does the Mountain Goats, like they've performed together. And I'd love for him to sing on something like that would be like really cool, especially too, because like, I never, you know, I feel like, I'm Canadian, and like, not like proud to be Canadian, none of that stuff, but just like, I never really collaborate with other Canadian people except my friends.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, I have an identity within the sphere of Canadian music. I feel like Canada, like music in Canada, is kind of strange. Because we're so spread apart, that's like, I feel like there's not a much community. And I feel like in metal, like too, like, you know, it's a very underground, off-putting style of music. It's very hard for like anyone outside of metal to want to listen to your stuff. So it's like, you know, it's going to be hard to convince like Stephen Page, hey, here, check out this record. Well, like Dream and Ending, I'm like, well, there's clean parts. Like there's singing on it. Like at least there's something, but, yeah, that's my answer. Oh, that's it.
Go ahead. I just now came up with a super group. It would be the Canadian super group of your dreams. Steven on vocals, you on guitar, the bassist for Our Lady Peace, and Flo from Cryptopsy playing drums.
Oh my God, there you go. OLP, that's a good grab.
Yeah, dude.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, man. The radio show that I do is in Seattle. You name checked Alice in Chains. What are a couple of your favorite, like, and I'm going to put you totally on the spot, favorite Northwest bands? It doesn't have to be Seattle. It could be, you know, Portland, or, you know, outside of Seattle. Favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Oh, let me think. Out of that grunge scene, Alice in Chains was the one. I love Mother Love Bone, though.
Yeah.
Like, they are so sick. Like, they are like if Guns N' Roses was from Seattle.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was, it is so good.
Kind of glam rock.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Sleazy, but like dirty. Yeah. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Alice in Chains for sure. If we can go a little north, if we can consider like Vancouver on the cusp of Pacific Northwest, I've always loved Skinny Puppy.
Yeah.
And they're like, I feel like people don't know they're Canadian. But yeah, that was another band. Awesome band. What are yours?
Favorite Northwest bands? There's a band called Seaweed that I love.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely love Seaweed. There's a band called The Gits. They're like a punk band. Their singer was murdered, unfortunately. Incredible. They were like incredible punk band. But a band called Undertow. They were like
the hardcore band.
Yep, hardcore band.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as the like, you know, iconic Seattle grunge bands and stuff, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains.
Yeah, Soundgarden's amazing. Like,
I can't dispute that Nirvana like got me really into, you know, this kind of music just hearing it on the radio. So
yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I get that. They never like that one never clicked for me though. Like, I totally get it. But it just for some odd reason, I think probably like fatigue from hearing the hits.
Yep.
But Soundgarden, like, yeah, Super Unknown is just such a monster of a record.
And I never got into Pearl Jam until I saw them live, and I was like,
I've heard that from a couple of people. Now you're like, you're in. Yeah.
I was just like, okay.
Seaweed are cool. Was the band Seam from the Pacific Northwest? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay. Seam. Okay. They were like an indie rock band, but I couldn't remember if they were from one of those states or if they were from like, you know, Midwest. You never know.
Favorite Toronto bands of all time, then. Who are your favorites?
The early F***ed Up stuff is great. I remember like going to those shows between like 2004-05 to like 2006-07, like when Hidden World came out, and I have a soft spot for those days for sure. There was another great like power violence band from Toronto called the Endless Blockade.
Okay. Yeah, I remember downloading their MP3s off Blogspots.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. That band was awesome. Do we consider Rush a Toronto band? I think we can. I think we can kind of shoehorn them in. Rush is obviously like, that's king shit. That's good stuff. What else from Toronto? I don't know. Like, as far as like the last like 10 years or so, I haven't really, I don't think anything's like really, really grabbed me.
Okay.
From now I'm trying to think of Ontario, like bigger picture. There's probably some that I just can't think of. I'm probably too fried right now to think about it.
You're in full mode of, I'm sure you're doing tons of press and getting this record, man. It's out streaming now. One more time, I will mention it. Song of Salvation. You can order it. It's out on $20 bin now. Now that you're hearing this, second record from the band, and I'm pumped to hopefully see Dream On Ending sometime live. But I'm gonna
one day
we'll get it. My last question for you, man, before we let you go, pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Okay, yeah, I don't have many actually. It's crazy, but I have this one on my finger. It's probably hard to focus, but you can see a line across it. When I was like 4 or 5, I remember just like too short to see what was on the counter and just grabbed a huge knife with my hand. Oh. And it just like, I was screaming, I had to get stitches. And I feel like that's like the one I remember the most because that was like early trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one's like the only one that really left a scar that like mattered. I have a scar on my back I can't show you, but I had an abscess. It was like I had a water filled cyst for years, and then one day it turned purple and grew to the size of a quarter, and I had to go get it popped. That was the worst feeling in the world. Like, you know, laying on my back, he's like, okay, I'm gonna inject it with like a freezing agent. Mm-hmm. And then he waits a few minutes and then he slices it open. He's like, hey, did you feel that? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh buddy, it's gonna get way worse. And just like the feeling of like 200 pounds of pressure being put on one spot on my back and then stuffing it with gauze after, that sucked. But I have it. Like, it's like a little crater back there. Yeah, yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
I had a staph infection like near my belt line, and have that removed. It got huge and I had to have that removed, and then I had to stuff gauze like in the hole.
Oh, you know? Goodness.
Like, it was gnarly. But
do you know how you got it?
I worked in a record store with like dirt and with like dirty hands. I mean, you know, staff is everywhere, you know, so it was probably just me thinking, oh, what, this little like pimple or something, and then itching. And then, it, you know, that bacteria gets in there and it's just like, eh.
You know, I've never known anyone who got staph infection, but I remember one of the guys on the show Oz, there's like a little arc where like one of the Italian dudes gets a staph infection. And I can't remember it. It's like, I can't remember thinking. I was like, can you die from that? Can you die from a staph infection?
Yeah, you can. If gone untreated.
Yeah.
Because I remember going in there and being like, I can't pay for this today. I can't pay for this today. You know, I don't have insurance. I was like, you know, just kind of dumb and not realizing that they were like, no, dude, you're taking care of this today, because if gone untreated, it can go into your bloodstream and then become septic.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
And, yeah, you,
so you can
sepsis,
you
and
can, yeah, okay. Jeez.
Well, good way to end the interview. It sounds like we're like talking about like a Carcass album or something at the end,
right?
Dude. Derek, thank you so much for chatting about the new record. Go get the new Dream Unending, and I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, thanks for making the time, man.
Yep, take it easy, man. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Take care.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.